Hey, Internet.
Welcome to the Intoxicated Podcast, a weekly comedy talk show that dives into the personal lives of comedians, experts, and creators. I'm your host, Sarah McClellan, a very amateur stand-up comedian and self-proclaimed sad girl. Every week, I dive into who people really are, the good, the bad, and everything in between. It's the comedy podcast with a lot of heart. Feel hard and talk hard. This is
the Intoxicated Podcast.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Intoxicated Podcast. We are here with a very special episode this week. It is a little bit different because you're going to hear the same two voices all the way through. I'm here with producer Sarah. Hello, producer Sarah.
Hello, not producer Sarah. Hello, host Sarah.
Host Sarah and producer Sarah. It's funny. I work on another podcast and they recently called me producer Sarah. And
oh,
I was like,
no.
I was like, this is gonna be? This is so weird. Producer and host. But this is cool. This is a very quick intro. It's not a long one because we're doing this all in one go. But this week, you're the guest on the podcast.
Woohoo! You guys get to hear all about me. Finally, my dream come true.
You get to know Sarah. And we talked about mental health, confidence, self-love, marriage, death, anxiety.
Marriage, death.
We dove into you.
Yeah.
And who you are. And I think it was a great, we literally just had the chat. I think it was a great chat.
Thank you.
We should do all these intros right afterwards.
Remember, it'd be really awkward if you were like, hey, was this a shitty chat?
Yeah, this was bad and we're not really. How was it?
It was good. It was fun. It was really weird for me to talk about stuff because like I don't.
Because
like,
normally you're not in the hot seat.
Yeah, I don't like talking about myself.
But. Normally we have fun, light chats in the intro. And then, mind you, like these are all conversations that we've had before, but they're just in an interview format, which is strange.
Which is why like I wasn't nervous for this either, because I was like, I'm going over and talking to one of my best friends. Like,
aww.
This is fine.
It's a weird thing, though. It's strange. Yeah, it definitely is strange. So, yeah, guys, enjoy this week's episode. It's a great one. And you got to... Fall Intoxicated, subscribe, send us an iTunes review. If you make your iTunes review a bad review, like a one star, and if it's funny enough, I will put it on a t-shirt. So you want to know what? Just do it if you want to. If you truly don't like the podcast, but make it a funny one star review if you're going to do it. That's my only request. And check out the YouTube channel. We're almost at 400 subscribers on there.
What? Man, we are making progress.
So I would love to get that up. I mean, it would be amazing to hit 400 soon. So video episodes are up on YouTube. They usually come out usually the Saturday or Sunday after the Friday release. So go check that out. You can send in questions and voicemails. I would love to just get some of those. So can you send some in? Like, y'all must not have your shit together. You must need advice about something. You can email the questions, intoxicatedpodcast@gmail.com, or you can leave a voicemail. And the link to that is in the description of this podcast and in the Instagram bio. So you guys, we should do this together because it's you and it's strange, right?
Okay.
So enjoy this week's episode with the amazing, hilarious, and beautiful... Sarah Nicole! It's you!
It's me! Cause lately I've been drinking or anything to keep me from thinking about how everything's turning out. If I liked you in the mix, I'm not a, like, long talker.
Great. You are today.
Isn't that great for a podcast?
You're going to be tonight.
Hooray. Also, before we start, I was re-listening to Jordan's episode.
Oh my and, God.
The part where you're talking about that no one will find you if you die.
Yeah.
It's like, your poor producer. Anyways, the scenario made me laugh. Three times. So listen to the episode three times now.
I loved the Jordan episode.
Oh my God.
So fucking funny. Everybody, welcome back to the Intoxicated Podcast. This is a slight intro.
What a great slight intro, Sarah. Great job.
Welcome back. We are back with another episode, a very special episode today, because our guest today, this week, I guess I should say, is producer Sarah Nicole.
I'm a real person.
Oh my God, you're a real person? She's producer on camera. Sarah.
I can't see myself on camera, but you know.
Do you want to see yourself? I can drive
no,
it over
thank
here.
You. No, thank you.
But oh my gosh, Sarah Nicole is here. So you are a stand-up comedian. You are an amazing person. You are a new friend of mine. And you are finally a guest.
Yeah. It's so weird being a guest on the podcast because I put in an application like almost a year ago to be a guest.
My God, let's pull it up. We're going to pull it up,
I forget what I said in it.
We got to pull it up. I actually had that thought before. And of course, I forgot to have it prepared and brought up here. But you did. Yeah. So what made you want to apply back in the day?
I just loved you. I loved your podcast.
But you didn't know me personally.
I didn't know you personally, no. But yeah. I love, this is going to sound weird, but I love how you sounded.
Really?
And you just sound like you had so much fun on the podcast. And I was like, I want to be on a podcast.
And here you are.
And here I am, co-producing and everything.
You're helping run it?
It's literally like a dream come true.
What? That's so wild to me. Your expectations must be low for dreams.
Or are they really? Sometimes.
I'm curious to see. There she is. Okay. So Sarah Nicole's original guest application form. Shall I read it?
Please read it because I want to remember what I said.
So you said, I am a fun, awkward girl who loves animals, comedy, and wine. Actually, any kind of booze.
Would that matter? No.
I think maybe when you applied, it was probably more of a drinking podcast.
Maybe.
So you might have been trying to like push that a bit.
Oh, maybe.
Maybe. Who knows? I'll talk about anything, but some life topics I really like talking about are mental health, funny life experiences, and of course, anything that has to do with food.
Wow. What a boring girl.
I don't think you're boring at all.
Thank you so much. Well, now that you know me, yeah.
Now that I know you, yes.
But like this person, I'd be like, excuse me, ma'am.
Oh, but I think that's good. You gave me topics. Like so many people, when they apply, they don't actually say what they can talk about. They're just like, I'm just a fun person who can talk. And I'm like, but what about?
Good for you.
You know, I just go, what about? You got to give me something. So
that's
really cool. So you would have, I can't see the date on this. Yes. So that's really strange. So things have come full circle.
Things have come full circle, which is weird to think about, but also like nice. It's a good feeling.
It is. So we had this talk recently about when we met. And it might have been a year ago or a little over a year ago. I think it was the summer.
I feel like you're right. It probably was in the summertime. I remember it being very warm.
Mm.
And I think that you might have been on that show, but I wasn't on the show. But the show that I was thinking of that like popped up in my memories, we were on that show together, I'm pretty sure.
Okay.
But it wasn't our first meeting.
Oh, that's wild.
Yeah.
And then I'm still murky on how we start talking more. I think it might have been Instagram.
Yeah, that was definitely me replying to every single one of your stories. Because I went back to my messages the other day and I was like, good Lord. Like borderline... stalker bitch right here.
No way. But then I think there was a moment where I realized that you lived in the same complex as me.
Yeah. I don't remember when that was though.
I don't remember either. But like there was definitely a moment where I went, oh, you're in my hood.
You're literally in my hood.
You're literally
we're under the same hood almost.
You're literally my neighbor.
Yeah.
Which is so funny. And then we would have kind of reconnected at open mics. And then eventually like you offered to help me with the podcast, which was so cool.
Yeah, I'm glad I got to help you with it too.
Because there was a couple of people who told me that they would help, and it's really hard for me to know who's serious and who isn't. But like, you stayed on me, and that's how I knew. I was like, oh, this bitch really wants to be
involved. Let me help you with this.
Let me help.
Let me. I'm that annoying girl that messaged you on Instagram, remember?
Yeah. Oh my. No, you're not annoying.
Like, maybe at that point.
No way. I definitely was never annoyed with you.
Oh, thank you so much.
I definitely was never annoyed. Okay, good. I just didn't know you. Mm-hmm. But I get the sense that you were shy.
Yeah, but I'm not a shy person, which is funny.
You don't think?
I'm just like quiet and reserved at first because like I like to read people and like get to know their vibe first. Mm. And if I like their vibe, then I'm like, okay, this is fine.
Actually, that's accurate because shy people don't like to talk on the phone. And you're someone who has no issue calling places.
That's because I worked at a call center for 7 years also. So
that would help.
That would do it.
But even still, I find I worked at a call center. I hate calling strangers or like I hate calling for appointments. That's like I fucking hate that.
I still make my mom do my doctor's appointment.
Do they really?
I'm like, mom, can you please call my doctor? I don't have time. I'm 31 years old. I don't know what I'm doing.
Please do this for me.
Yeah. And she's like, okay, no problem. I'm retired.
She's like, I want something to do.
Yeah, exactly.
I want to feel useful.
I want to feel involved. I want to be part of this.
That's hilarious.
Yeah.
But you've been, so what has it been like for you, like being thrown into this world? Because it's a lot. There's a lot.
It is a lot. But
it is a lot.
It's a lot of fun.
Oh,
and I like that. Like,
I have a gun to her head right now. That's why she's saying those things.
A fun gun.
A fun gun. Like a squirt gun. But
yeah.
But it's fun.
But like it's like rainbow colors. So like it makes it fun.
It shoots out fun.
Fiery fun. But no, yeah, it's been fun. And like I like that you and I have bonded over it. And like it is a lot of work. But like it's work that I like doing.
Mm-hmm.
And I like being here. I like doing my intros. I like being here when the guests are here. And I like what I do with you. So.
You're like a sounding board for everything. So any podcast idea I have, like you're there to be. And that was my thing with like kind of reaching out to people to get help with it. Cause I was just like, I feel lonely in this thing because it was always just me and it's lonely.
Yeah.
And like people will compliment you on, oh my God, you run this thing alone. Good
for
you.
You do such a great job. And you're like,
I'm like, I'm so tired and I just want a friend in this. And like, I've always been very vocal about it being my dream to like do a podcast with somebody. That's kind of the end goal. That's not where life has taken me with this show, but
I think
I'm close to that with you where like we do the intros together and you know, you're my sounding board and all of that and you're involved. So
I like being involved. I like being involved in things.
Yeah.
Especially fun things. So yeah.
So like tell the listeners about yourself. So you've done stand up.
Yes.
What's that been? When did you start?
I started in 2019 and then I did it for like a year. And then once I started getting into a good groove of doing it, COVID hit. And then I stopped doing
it. The way.
Yeah. I think I stopped doing it from March until like November of last year. And then I did like one show in November and then we went into lockdown again.
Right.
And then when we came out of lockdown, I don't think I did it that time.
Right.
Maybe like once or twice. And then I started doing it again once we started opening up and like getting back to a better place.
And do you love it?
Sometimes. Sometimes it's just stressful. It's like the nerves really get to me before I go on stage. But like lately, I really love doing it. It's been really fun lately.
You're in a good upswing.
Yeah. I feel like my confidence has gotten back. And
yes.
Like, yeah.
That's something I've noticed about you.
When I was doing it in 2019, like at the end of it, I felt like really confident. I felt like I loved my jokes and like I was in a really good spot.
Right.
And then like after I stopped doing it for a year, I was like, this is shitty all over again. But now that I'm in a good groove, I'm like, okay. Got this.
On it.
Love it.
And is it something are you someone who's seriously pursuing being a comedian? I hate this question because it's like, I feel like so many people do it for fun.
Yeah.
But then there's some people who are like, no, like I want to be a comedian. That's my dream.
I wanted to at first.
Yeah.
Like I was like, I went to comedy school. I went to Second City for a long time and took their like stand-up classes and stuff.
Wow.
And like went to Neptune and like did improv classes with them because like I wanted to be better at like being on stage and like being a comedian and stuff like that. But like now I'm like, I'd rather do it as a hobby and do something else with comedy. Like I'd love to screenwrite a comedy.
Yeah, there you go.
Show or like movie or something. Yeah.
And well, shall we plug your project that you worked on recently?
Yes.
That is coming out soon.
It released today.
Woohoo!
It was a show called Volleys. It's going to be a comedy show about volunteer firefighters.
Mm-hmm.
And it's on Bell Fiber TV right now. So, yeah.
It's out now.
It's out today. Happy and Volleys Day.
What did you do on the show?
I did production assistant work on the show, and it was awesome.
So you were behind, you saw everything behind the scenes. You saw how everything came together,
yeah,
production-wise.
And that's the coolest thing, because like I got to do a little bit of everything, because it was like such a small group of people, and like we're in a small space. So I got to see like what the camera people did. I got to see what the sound people did. I got to see like what the actors did. And then like I got to do my stuff too, which is pretty cool.
That's so cool.
My stuff was just like sleeping the floor. I slept the floor a lot.
I thought you said sleep on the floor. I was like, that's something I
could do. I also BBS. Took it out with the floor once or twice. But I remember just like, because they're long days. They're like 15-hour days.
That's and like a lot.
Yeah. And there is a long time where I just like sweep the floor back and forth because we were in a warehouse. And I was like, they're filming and I can't be in there right now because like the doors are shut and they need quiet. I'm out here. Everything else is down out here. I'm just going to sweep the floor again.
Damn. 15-hour days. That's insane.
It was great.
But I guess it's 15-hour days in a kind of short-ish period of time to make a fucking TV show. Like you're kind of in it for the long term. What am I trying to say? It's a lot at once, but in the end it pays off.
Exactly.
I guess what I'm
trying to say, yeah. It's not usually like that because on like, excuse me, whoa, on like movies and stuff like that, they're longer days.
Right.
And like you're not filming, because we've filmed one episode per day, but like with movies, it's multiple days for like just one scene.
Right.
And they're long ass days, right? So
yeah,
it was, but yeah, it was a good experience though. I loved it. And everybody on the set was really, really nice. The crew was really nice and the cast is really nice. And I feel like I got spoiled a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're like, are you going to work with them again in the second season?
I hope so.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. That's the plan, Stan. Yes.
Yeah. That is very fascinating. Wow. And what was like, and so it's on Bell TV. How do people, I get
Bell, Eastlink TV.
So fucking dumb today. Like, how do people watch it? I don't have cable. So I guess
I don't have cable either. And I don't know if like you need a Bell account to watch it. Anyways, it's on Eastlink TV and Bell TV. If you have it, you can watch it.
I don't know how to get it. I don't know how anything is done anymore with shows. Like, I'm just like, tell me it's on Netflix, Crave, Prime. What are the other ones? There's like so many.
Yeah.
Disney Plus. Like, I had to cancel Crave because I was just like, I'm not using this fucking thing and I'm paying like $25 just to have the access to HBO.
No, thank you.
No, thank you.
I have a Crave account that you can use if you need it.
I think you offered that to me and I got too scared to ask you for it. So I just got my own.
Oh, well, you can have mine. Sharing is caring.
Because I feel bad. That makes me feel bad.
No.
When people share their paid accounts.
Don't feel bad because it's meant for sharing. It's a streaming account. They're sharing their TV shows. I'm going to share my account with you.
Wow. That's so nice.
I also have like all the other streaming services too. So if you ever, if you're like, I need an Amazon Prime account, I got you,
homie. I
have
Prime because I need Amazon Prime just for my life.
Oh, yeah.
So I have access to Prime. I get the
good
Prime membership every year.
You got the Prime membership.
Yeah. I need that fast shipping for sure.
Yeah.
I
just like the TV shows. I don't care about fast shipping.
I just don't watch enough TV. Like, I recently finished Squid Game and that was like, oh my God, Sarah, you did it. You watched the show. Good
job. I'm so proud of you. And did you love the ending?
I kind of did.
Yeah. I also really like the ending.
I know that it was like kind of polarizing. It didn't really leave me going, oh my God, that was the best ending ever. Because it wasn't Mr. Robot. but I liked it. And it's intriguing. And it takes a lot for a show to really hook me. And that show hooked me.
Yeah.
I think I just like dark shows.
I love dark shows. I love like psychological thrillers too.
Yeah.
Yeah, those are my favorite. Anything that fucks in my head, I'm like, I love this.
Love it. It's
that's probably not.
It's strange good. That like a lot of comedians are like that. They like a lot of dramas and like non-comedic shows. Yeah. I've noticed that with comics. Not a lot of comics actually watch a lot of comedies.
The weirdest question I get is, who's your favorite stand-up comedian? I'm like, I don't.
Oh, you don't have? Do you have one?
Really? I mean, like, no, I don't. I don't have anybody that I look up to that I'm like, I really like them.
Really? Yeah. That's fascinating.
I like Tom Segura is all right sometimes.
Oh, I love Tom Segura.
But like, other than that, there's no one I really look up to and like.
I really look up to Whitney Cummings because she's done so many things. Like, she's done TV shows. Yeah. She's written a book. She has a podcast. She does it all. And when I think of like my life, I'm like, that's what I want to be because I'm a workaholic.
Well, that makes sense though, because you're a lot like her in some ways.
Aww.
You're doing like a lot of the things that she's doing as well, right?
I like to think so.
So that makes
sense. I like to think
we
could be friends.
Yeah. Hell yeah, you guys could.
I get to see her in March.
That's so exciting. Maybe you guys become best friends.
I'm front row, so I'm going to her to sign these titties.
Do it. You might as well.
She signs boobs after the show.
Does she really?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
And I'm in the
exciting.
Front fucking row. So you better believe it's happening. I was nervous because for a while the States wasn't letting in mixed vax people.
Are you mixed vax?
I am.
Oh shit.
And they weren't qualifying that as full vaccine.
Why did it let us get done?
I know.
That doesn't make any sense.
So for a long time I was like, oh, I don't think I can go. Aww. Unless it changes. But then it changed. And also they're opening up land travel to the States.
Oh,
I think
sweet.
Soonish too.
That's
so
awesome.
It's a go. Clifton Cremo and I are road tripping it to Maine.
God bless you, Clifton.
God bless. What an angel on
he
earth.
He is literally a sweet angel baby.
But he's also very mean sometimes, Clifton. Clifton knows how to. Clifton can roast.
Can he?
Oh yeah, you sure can. Ooh. I'll read a text conversation between us.
Please.
Yesterday. This is how much of a mean angel Clifton is.
A sweet angel baby, but also
but
a
also
sweet devil.
Can spit hot fire. Let's see. So he asked me to do a gig in Glace Bay on Friday with Scott. I was like, I can't. I was like, I'm doing Martin on Sat. Like, I was just like, it was a straight no. Like,
you
I didn't
would have died.
I would have died. I was like, Clifton, I gotta set some boundaries. I was like, thank you so much for asking me, but
thank you so much, but hard no, buddy.
It was like, I was saying about like how I feel like I'm getting sick. And then he said, the type of sick where your back just gets sore for some reason. I said, that's just being 34. And then he said, don't lose your dentures in Moncton this weekend. A crackhead will definitely use them. And then I wrote, boom. And then he said, what are you booming about? Or is that just why they call you old folks boomers? And then I said, wait. I was just like, yeah, Clifton can roast.
Look at him go. He does have a little edgy side to him, but we love an edgy angel baby.
We love an edgy angel baby. So this is strange because you do my intros with me. We have segments on the show, and like I've been thinking about the assumption segment. I'm just like, I suck at this segment. I don't know if my brain just isn't creative right now or coming up with good assumptions, but it's also tough because like we're close now.
Yeah,
so like we kind of know most things about each other. Most things.
Yeah,
most things. So we might do a slight spin on the assumptions segment.
Don't punch me in the face.
Ow. Kind of like assumptions / first impressions, or like hot takes about each other. Maybe.
Hot takes. I don't have any hot takes about you.
Well, let's talk about you though.
Oh, okay.
So I think you're too nice.
I am too nice. Thank you. Cause I am. And I know that I am, but I can't fix that.
So I think with you, your challenge is.
I've been hearing this all day. Please tell me.
I'll try to say it the nice way.
Please don't make me cry tonight.
I feel like with you, you could take something that someone does and say nothing and move on. But instead, you're very nice to them.
What do you mean? Oh, you mean like if someone's a bitch to me, I'm just like, I'm going to be nice to you.
Yeah.
Like,
you're just too nice. Like, you don't have to be. Like, you could just be silent.
Yeah.
But instead, you come off like you like the person when maybe you don't. Am I right?
Sometimes. It depends on the situation. You can tell if I don't like somebody. Because I am very different towards people I don't like rather than people that I do like.
Yes. Okay. And, like, this is where, like, the hard boundaries come in.
Yeah.
You have hard boundaries.
I do have hard boundaries. And it took me a while to build up to them. But I have them now. And I'm very stern with them. And, like, I just don't let people fuck with them. And
so Sarah frequently turns me down for plans.
I'm sorry, pal. I love you, though.
I try to hang out with her all the time. She said, no, I'm busy.
I usually am busy, to be fair.
You're a very social person. And this was the other thing. You portray yourself as not social, but you are.
I'm social with the same consistent people, though. So does that count? Because, like,
yeah.
When I think of being a social person like that, just a person like who goes out all the time, like hangs out with like a big group of people.
See, I don't see social that way.
Oh, really?
I see social as like having plans and doing things with people. Even if they are your close friends.
Yeah. It's usually my mom I'm always with.
Very, very close with your mom. And your mom's great.
My mom's the best. She's my best friend.
Oh, I
love
that. She's
a real bad bitch, got her own money. Yeah, love my mom.
But okay, so where did the hard boundaries come from? How did those start happening for you?
I just like when I was a teenager, probably into like my earlier mid-20s, I just let people walk all over me, and like I would do things with people even I didn't want to hang out with them, and like I would just have like the worst time in my life, and it just like it caused more stress to me hanging out with the people than saying no to the people,
right?
And like setting boundaries is super stressful for me because like I know I'm letting people down and I know that I'm disappointing people.
Are you though? If they're the right people.
Well, that's the thing, right?
Yeah,
the right people and like the people who are close to me understand that. They understand that I have a small battery and they understand that like I'm
a tiny
anxious.
Battery.
This is like the teeny tiny
but you
battery.
Know what? Like this is the thing. And this is what like adult friendships are. It's going, I know your small battery and it's not the same as mine and I respect that.
Yeah, as it should be.
As it should be. Were you ever someone who like, do you consider yourself an extrovert?
Sometimes. I'm like that weird in between where like I am, but I'm also an introvert. Hmm. I love my alone time. Love it. But I also like being around people.
Fascinating.
But I don't like being around people for a long period of
time.
I
think that you might be an extroverted introvert.
Definitely.
And I'm an introvert extrovert.
Oh, no. We're opposite.
No. I think we both have the introvert side of us.
Yeah.
I just think for me, I really like connection. And so that's kind of more the extra. I like having plans. I like doing things. I like that does recharge me. But lately it's been like, oh no, I really need that decompression time. Whereas before, like past Sarah would not have needed that as much.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm like, I'm still pretty extrovert, but like I'm definitely more of an introverted extrovert.
Yeah, I'm an extroverted introvert.
And I think that that's why we get along in some ways.
Absolutely, for sure. Yeah.
I can see that. I'm very aware of your battery. I don't know if you've noticed that.
No, and I love that you are because not a lot of people are.
I'm more aware of your battery than mine.
That's probably very concerning. Because I'm aware of both of our batteries.
Are you?
Yeah.
Well, we recently had... Oh, well, let's talk about this. We had a very active weekend this past weekend.
Yeah.
We went to a haunted house.
We did.
And then we both agreed to bail on a plan for the next day.
To be fair, though, I went to see my dad.
To be fair, though, I had other things to do. I had podcast stuff to do. We both had that moment of we can't go. We can't do this. Which was funny because when we booked the two nights in a row, I was just like, this isn't going to go well.
Really?
I knew right away.
I knew I was like fully ready to go to the Rush show. And like, I was really, really looking forward to it.
I was looking forward to it too.
But then my dad ended up in the hospital. Mm. So, you know.
Yeah.
Priorities.
It was really fun that we went to a haunted house.
Yeah, that was amazing. The first time I went to the haunted house, I would like hang on to Lauren and like I'd make her hang on to me the whole entire time. I wouldn't let go of her, and she got annoyed by the third haunted house. She was like, oh my god, just let me go by myself. I was like, please don't.
We were hanging on to each other pretty a lot.
I was like crouched down.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was really fun.
You were crouched down like a little
woman.
I
was
excuse me, sir. I gotta get you to the haunted house.
There were some funny moments in the haunted house. I'll never forget it. Walking around the corner and scaring one of the characters.
Oh,
like, we startled
me.
One of the characters. Like, they were scared by us.
Yeah, you know you're doing your job when. I think that he was startled by, like, how many of us there was.
That could be it.
Because I think he jumped out to scare one of us, and then, like, saw the rest of us come, and then he was like, oh, God. But also, I love
Jesus
when you're
Christ.
Like... I like then you're like, you're the hottest one so far. This lady was like, that's my boyfriend.
Yeah, another girl there. No, she was like, that's my boyfriend. Like, it was very, very like, that is mine. Do not comment on him. Like, it was intense. I was like,
and then she turns to me and she's like, that happens all the time.
Really?
Yeah. She's like, wouldn't it be the first time?
Whoa, I didn't see that part.
Yeah.
He was hot.
I didn't see him. I only saw her.
Oh, but yeah, you didn't have your glasses on.
Because it's better that way. It's a better experience when you can't see or hear anything.
Damn. going back to you, though. Okay,
sorry.
So small battery.
I have a small ass battery.
And you've learned to set boundaries, say no. Did that come gradually, or was that like a radical shift for you?
That came gradually, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I just, yeah.
Did you over-explain yourself to people?
All the time.
Yeah.
And I still kind of do, depending on who I'm talking to. And depending on if I cancel plans, like, very, very, very last minute, I'll explain myself, like, and then, like, apologize
also. I'm so sorry
that
I have to bail, but I have to do this.
Exactly.
Like, you give a thousand
yeah,
reasons why you're
exactly.
bailing.
And then, like, mm-hmm. they become made-up reasons eventually. and then I send a text message or whatever. I'm like, they're not going to believe that, but whatever. I'm just going to send it.
That
and then
is a sign of growth. That's a sign of growth to... Because I think you and I talked about this. The idea of, like, bailing on friends and whether or not you explain a lot or not. Because some people have the opinion that, like, you can just say, I'm not going to make it tonight. And that's it. And you don't owe anyone anything. And they don't have the right to prod about that.
Right.
But you and I think, like, if you're close friends with someone... You know, usually say why you're bailing.
Yeah.
It's kind of a nice thing to do. Not to over-explain it, but just to be like...
At least give something.
I didn't manage my time good today, and
yeah.
sorry, I can't make it.
An honest... I'd rather you bail and give an honest answer as to why you're bailing than just, like, not give me anything, I feel.
Yes.
Because, like,
if we're friends, right?
If we're close friends.
If we're close friends.
Because I do that, so I would expect that out of people. If that makes any sense.
Are you someone who's gotten better at embracing bailing on plans?
No, I feel really, really shitty if I have to bail.
I do too.
Like, I will apologize to day's end if I have to bail on you because, like, it doesn't. I set hard boundaries, but it doesn't feel good.
Doesn't feel good. Not yet, anyway.
Not yet.
But that's, like half the battle is actually being able to set them.
Yeah.
I think, and then I think the feeling good about it is going to come with time. And that's just, we talked before we hit record, but like the putting your, like I posted a status a little bit ago, just saying, putting myself first is stressing me out.
It's stressful, but you have to put yourself first sometimes because like your mental health is more important than anything because if you're not, like if you kill yourself mentally, you're not going to.
It's the airplane analogy.
Yeah.
You got to put the mask on yourself before your baby.
Exactly. Because you don't want your babies to die. Oh, wait. You don't want...
Your baby might die.
Your baby might die. Fuck your babies. You're
Listen,
more important than your babies.
Every man for himself.
Small child I gave birth to 5 months ago.
They're not missing out on much. They don't even know anything about life yet.
Fuck you, child. I lived through 31 years. I'm going to survive before you. But yeah, no, you're right. You have to put your mask on before you put other people's masks on.
I've been hearing that analogy a lot lately. And like, it's just interesting how friends reach out when they know that I'm overwhelmed, which has been a lot lately. And they're just like, Sarah, you just gotta take care of you. You just gotta take care of you. And I'm just like, I don't think people realize how deep-rooted workaholism is with me and with people in general and how hard it is for so many people to just say, I just need a self-care night. Like, and also self-care. And what is that? It's different to everybody.
It's different to everybody. Self-care for me is like, bailing on plans that can mentally reset so then I can be a better friend to that person.
And for you, let me predict what your self-care is based on what I know.
Okay.
Staying in with your cats.
Yeah.
Watching a show or a movie?
I usually cry a little bit. Because that's why. That's how I mentally reset, as I cry. So I don't want to come.
Clip that. That's a clip.
I don't want to like come out with you if I'm going to cry.
Have we cried in front of each other? I've cried in front of
you. You cried in front of me.
I've never seen you cry.
I will tell you right now, I will never cry in front of you.
Why?
I don't cry in front of people. Anyone? Unless I'm drunk.
What about Dustin?
Well, Dustin, well, I've been with him for 8 years.
And you live together.
We live together, so that's different.
You can't really avoid it.
Yeah.
So there's the Aquarius coming out. So you are someone who I would, just going back to assumptions, you are emotional, but you can be detached.
Yeah.
And that's where I make the connection. There's some people that I talk to where I'm just like, you just aren't empathetic and you're not emotional. Like, you don't have to be, emotional doesn't have to be someone who's crying all the time.
Exactly.
Like, you're definitely emotional.
Yeah.
But you're not someone who's necessarily what I would call, like, attached. Do you consider yourself a little detached sometimes?
Sometimes, but I'm also, I get attached easily.
Oh, yes. Okay.
So I'm like very picky of what I get attached to or who I get attached to also.
You choose wisely.
Yeah. Because if I think that you're not going to be in my life for a long period of time, or like if I don't feel a connection with you or whatever the case may be, I'm not going to, like, I'm going to be detached from you.
That's like a... almost like a, you're like, that's just that isn't efficient for me. So I'm not
putting my time into this. I'm not putting my tears into this. God, that's what is this?
So funny that you say that self-care is crying. Cause like, I just cry so easily. I'm a tire crier.
Oh. Love that for you.
Where do you think the crying, is it stress, anger, sadness? Like, what do you think the core emotion is that's like when you have that cry, you're like, I'm tapping into this emotion? Or is it different every time?
It's different every time. I'm an angry crier. Oh, so when I get mad, I just like, I cry. But then like, I try to like get sassy. So I'm just like, and then you, blah, 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 I'm like crying. So like, it's never taken easily or seriously.
Anger? So you, if I could tap into this, and if this is too personal, we don't have to talk about it. But one thing I find interesting about you is you've said, you've admitted to me, I used to be a toxic person.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know why I was so happy about that. Yeah, I was.
Makeover! Me then, me now. Hey. Can we dive into that? So, like, this was obviously younger years.
Yeah.
Number one, everyone's fucking toxic as shit in their 20s.
Yeah.
We just all are.
Really, I feel like teenagers or early 20s, everyone's toxic.
Like I look back too, and I'm just like, holy shit. I was a terrible girlfriend, and like, I was so, like, yeah, we were all toxic at one point. But what did that look like for you in your life? The toxicity.
The toxicity. I was
in our city.
I was gonna say, that was a really good song by System of a Down. Damn. When I was dating my ex for like 6.5 years, I was super toxic because, like, I hate saying that he made me toxic, but like, he made me miserable, so I treated people around me miserable.
Oh, you took it out on others.
Yeah,
around
for
you.
Sure.
Without really knowing it. Exactly. Or meaning to do it.
Without knowing it and without meaning to do it. Definitely. Because, right, like, I didn't know until like I left that relationship how shitty I treated people. But like, I made sure to, like, first of all, apologize to those people. But sometimes you can't, apologies don't mean much, you know? You can't really, you can apologize, but like, you can't fix the damage.
Ain't that fucking bitch.
Yeah. So, but like, I'm a better person now, and I'll never go back to the way that I was. And like, I learned from my mistakes and like kind of owned up to them and moved forward.
Dang. Yeah. So you were a hurt person who would hurt people.
Yeah.
Hurt people.
Hurt people hurt people.
Which is like something not a lot of people understand.
Yeah. And some people will never understand that.
Which is why
crazy.
It's hard for me in situations to take personal bias out of a situation and go, like, where is this person coming from? Like, they're acting this way for a reason.
Yeah.
Everyone acts a way that they act for reasons. And you can be empathetic to those reasons and still be against what they're doing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Do you know what I mean? Yep. Like fucking serial killer documentaries. Like, how many of those have you watched?
Poor Ted Bundy.
Right?
You know, he had a really... Actually, Ted Bundy killed people because he was upset about his girlfriend, so he didn't have an excuse.
Is that why he killed many people?
Yeah.
One girlfriend? Was it one girlfriend?
I think that he would, like... Maybe I'm getting this wrong. Maybe I'm getting confused with somebody else. I watch a lot of serial killer documentaries. But, like, he was in love with this girl, and I think that she didn't love him back, so that's why he killed people? Question mark.
Interesting. Okay. So, yeah. Incel-y. Little incel-y. I guess not really, but kind of.
Kind of.
Kind of.
I guess, like, in a way.
Listen, guys don't deal with rejection well.
They don't. Ted Bundy's a great example.
So you were in a relationship that kind of made you this toxic person. You ended that relationship. And then did you have a lot of time in between that relationship and your current one where you were alone and, like, kind of working on yourself? Or
yeah.
Yeah.
How many years, though?
Oh, how many years?
Wait, how many years? I think it was, like, 1 or 2 years, which doesn't seem like a long time, but it was enough time for me to kind of... Because, like, the thing is that, like, I dated that guy for 6.5 years, but, like... We weren't really dating for the last, like, 3 years. Like, I was just hanging on to him. And, like, the idea of the relationship was still there, but it was completely gone.
You were checked out.
Yeah. I was checked out, and he checked out, like, 5 years ago.
That's really sad.
Yeah. So I think that, like, having that 1 to 2 years doesn't seem like a long period of time, but where the relationship kind of ended before that made it longer, if that makes any sense.
It does.
Yeah.
It does. I think, like, this episode... is a good episode to start the new segment.
Ooh.
We have a new segment on Intoxicated. I think this is one that's going to cut right to the chase with people, which is we're going to call it What's Wrong With You? What's Wrong With You? You're very open. You mentioned it in your original application, mental health.
Yeah.
You and I have had many talks about mental health. We understand it and when each other are going through it and what, you know what I mean? Like, we're both very tuned into that type of thing. So, yeah. Sarah, what's wrong with you?
A lot, everything.
Well, pick a couple.
A lot and everything.
pick like three.
Okay. I have anxiety, generalized anxiety and social anxiety. And I also am sad. I'm depressed. I have depression. Undiagnosed depression. So,
oh shit, I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
So generalized and social. I'm someone who, in the cocktail of mental health, I would say anxiety is, like, one of my lower ones. Like, we all have a percentage of everything.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mine's, like, lower on anxiety and higher on depression. But what's the difference?
For me, generalized anxiety is just, like, generally everything makes me a little bit anxious. Like, I always have Ativan with me just in case.
Oh my God. I love Ativan. Ativan, can you sponsor Intoxicated?
Please.
Because I will say, when I took the tablet, I felt better.
You're welcome. You know, I don't offer it to everybody, even though it seems like I do. I don't.
I'm special.
But for, like, social anxiety, being around a lot of people makes me anxious. Being around new people makes me anxious. But also, like, opening up to people makes me anxious.
I get that sense. I get the sense that you're not someone who could, like, walk into a party and just, like, talk to anybody. You would probably hang out kind of on your own.
I would hang out with the cat or the dog.
Oh, I mean, yeah.
You know? And then, like, figure it out and feel it out a little bit. Find my people and then, like... hanging with my people for the rest of the night.
What if you have a friend? Like, what if you had an anchor person? Would that be better for you in a situation like that?
Sometimes. Sometimes the anchor is alcohol. That helps a lot.
You do like to drink.
Sometimes, yeah. Not as often as I used to drink, but, like, on the weekends, I like to get a little boozy.
Hiccups. It really does loosen you up and, like, it can prime you good for those moments where you have to go interact.
But, like, workplaces make me anxious.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
When I worked at Blue Ocean, I was very anxious there because there was, like, so many people. And, like, I never really bonded with anybody there. I didn't have, like, one person that I could go to and, like, hang with or, like, you know.
Yeah.
Have that connection with. So, like, I felt alone there. I just, like, I hate it because I was, like, so I had to call my doctor and, like, ask for anxiety medication to go to work.
Really?
Yeah, it was bad.
So social mixed with generalized. You're just scared all the time, aren't you?
Yeah. I'm scared right now. God.
But are you ever comfortable? Like, what's your ideal comfortability? You probably around close friends.
Around people I know, in a space that I know, not doing anything that's going to stress me out. So, like, a chill night at home with my homies.
Yeah.
That's what I like.
Feel that.
Yeah.
It's so fascinating to me how anxiety is different in everybody.
Yeah.
Because, like, to me, social anxiety is, like, not so much the act of being around people. It's more like, how do I deal with certain situations? Like, so I frequently text you, like,
yeah,
what the fuck do I do in this situation? I don't want to come off this way. How do I deal with this person? Like, it's more, I just read into people's wants and needs, and I get anxious about that.
Oh.
Not so much the, like, interaction
yeah
part, or, like, the going physically to be with people, because I actually love being around people. I mean, certain people. If you're too much, my battery will drain real quick.
Yeah, I feel that. That's why I'm super picky with who I hang out with.
Which is also fascinating to me, because a concern I had with you as new friends was that I would be too much for you.
No, you're not too much for me. I feel like you level me out.
Aww.
Yeah, I feel like, yeah.
I like that.
You know, like, how, like, a level is, there's, like, that little thing in the middle. You're like, you know.
Oh.
What I mean?
Yeah. I mean, I really like that. And I think that, like, you and I met at a time that was kind of perfect.
Yeah.
In a strange way, because it's a fresh friendship. So it kind of feels like I'm doing the friendship that I always wanted to do with Sarah. Like, like, whenever you would set boundaries or, like, bail on plans or, like, you know, not be able to do something, like, I would just go, you would normally get pissed at this. It's not about you. It's about her. You need to focus on you. And that's what she's doing. So you need to respect that.
Yeah.
And it's just kind of this weird shift in mind shift for me.
Since yeah.
Being friends with you, where I go, you know what? I'm jealous of that. Like, not only do I understand it, but I'm jealous of how you've managed your life.
Thanks. Sometimes it's chaotic, but thanks.
But see, this is why I think it's important to talk about these things. Because to you, your life is chaotic.
Yeah.
But I'm here going, you actually have it together, like, way more than you think.
Oh, thanks, pal.
And
I appreciate that.
You should be proud of that.
Yeah.
And also, like, I think we very often stigmatize our own personalities.
Absolutely.
And I think that's something that you do a lot too, and I don't like that.
Yeah.
I don't like that about you. You gotta change that.
I'm sorry, okay, I will. God. Stop yelling at me.
No, but like, but this is the thing. You do it, I think, in terms of, like, I'm chaotic and awkward. And it's like, no, Sarah, you're really not. But like, I do it too with, like, I'm a sad girl and I'm always sad and I always want love. And it's like, no, actually, you've done good at being single recently and
you're doing a great job.
And you're happy sometimes.
We're both doing a great job. I honestly think the lockdown has made me feel better about who I am as a person, because, like, prior to that, I was like, I'm too awkward to have friends. I'm too awkward to do comedy. I'm too awkward for this, blah, blah, blah. But, like, I actually kind of, like, more embrace that now, yeah, rather than, like, yeah.
The alone time really makes people get to know themselves.
Yeah, for sure.
Which is really interesting. And also, like, you're not awkward.
I can be. When I'm first talking to somebody, I definitely am, because I don't know how to have small talk. And
yeah,
like,
small talk sucks.
Because, like, I tried to, like, I ask them the same questions over and over again. I have a joke about it where I'm like, hi, how you doing today? And they're like, good. And you? I'm like, good. And you?
I'm good. What about, like, you? And you? And you?
Just, like, keep the conversation going, because, like, I want to talk to you and I want to get to know you, but, like, I don't know what the fuck to say to you. Mm. Tell me about your trauma instead. Like, just get right into it, pal.
Yeah. Let's cut to the fucking chase. I'm like, that's kind of the thing with Intoxicate. Like, I never want to just talk about the weather or, like,
yeah,
you know what I mean? Like,
you can find the weather on Google. Talk to me about something you can't find on Google.
And also, it's just like with these public facing people, like comedians and performers, I'm just like, we all know what you're putting out there, but, like, I want to know again, what's wrong with you?
Yeah.
You know, so, like, cut to the chase. What is it that's wrong with you? What are things that you're working on? What are your insecurities? Like, so you have, for you, it's anxiety and depression. Those are the main ones. Anxiety is, like, tag teaming you.
Yeah. Anxiety and depression tag teaming was not fun. Because you're like anxious that like you want to get out of bed and do things and I have to clean my apartment and blah, blah, blah. And depression's like, nah, bro, stay
so
in bed.
The depression thing is interesting because I haven't really, and maybe you're just really good at hiding that. I haven't really seen that in you yet.
Yeah, I
don't. In the course of our friendship.
I don't show it very often. And when I do, like, I completely bury myself in my room and, like, don't talk to anybody because, like, I don't like showing that side of me to people.
Right. So it meant you withdraw when you're depressed.
Yeah.
Fascinating.
I do. Very hardcore.
So do you find it helpful then when people reach out and are like, are you okay?
Sometimes.
Yeah.
It depends on how bad it is. Like, if I'm, like, mildly depressed, then yeah. But if I'm, like, super depressed, I'm just, no.
And you're unmedicated for that.
Yeah. Same Surprisingly, as. Because
Same
I...
Same as unmedicated ding, ding, club. Ding.
Love mm-hmm. that for us. Love that. I talked to my doctor about it, too. And, like, I asked her for both, like, depression and anxiety medication. And she told me that I had to go get assessed or whatever. And then she gave me Ativan instead of putting me on actual anxiety pills. So...
Is yeah, Ativan not anti-anxiety? What is it?
It's like a tranquilizer, so it's for when you have it's for when you're having panic attacks.
Right. They're not meant to be taken
just on a daily basis.
Willy-nilly.
Yeah.
I've taken it twice in my life. So the haunted house with you was the one time. The other time was before my first live show, and I was just an anxious mess, and I took it the night before I took one just to calm down.
Did it help?
Yeah.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah.
I find, like, I take, if depending on the show, like, if I'm doing Barely's, I'll take one before Barely's because, like, I get super nervous before that one just because, like, the room.
Me too.
I have a hard time with that room.
I have a hard time with that room, too.
But I think, yeah, I don't take it too often. I don't take it as often as I portray.
Yeah. We need to put there's a warning
no,
on this podcast.
There's honestly no reason for me to carry it around all the time, but like I like to have it just
well,
in case.
Well, it might make you, it probably makes you feel safe just having it on you.
Yeah.
Just knowing that like if you do get to that point, you can pop one and it'll be good.
Exactly. It's kind of like when you quit smoking. Like when I try to quit smoking, it like if I have a pack of smokes on me, I won't want to smoke.
Interesting.
Yeah. So it's like if I have Ativan, have Ativan on me, then I won't want to take it as often. But if I didn't have it, I think that'd make me more anxious.
Interesting. Fascinating. And so your unmedicated depression. Depression's a, we've talked about it a lot. What I love about being friends with you is that like I can say the darkest shit to you and you don't judge me for having those thoughts. But you also don't baby me.
Yeah.
I would never baby
you for that.
Which I love. So, like, it's obvious that to me then that you've been in really dark times and you've probably had similar thoughts. And I'm very pro, let's talk about our dark thoughts, because if we're talking about it, we're connecting about it. And I think the reason a lot of people are depressed is because they don't feel connected.
Exactly.
To themselves, the world, and other people. Themselves, the world, and other people.
Yeah.
Like... I very much so know that the root of my depression is loneliness.
Yeah.
And it's not feeling close connections with people.
That makes
sense. Do you know the root of yours? That's a deep question, I know. That's a hard one because there's probably a lot of things that contribute.
Yeah, I never actually thought about it, to be honest.
Like,
loneliness is probably a factor.
And that's fascinating to me.
Because, like...
Because you have such a good friend group.
I know. And then, like, yeah... But I'm always wanting something more, even when I have what I need, if that makes sense.
Okay, got you.
Yeah, and I always feel like something's missing, and I think that's what really makes me sad, because I never know what it is, because, like, it's not more friends, because, like, new friends come into my life, and I'm like, I love you and all, but I don't think that's it. And then, like, I get in a relationship, so I'm like, I don't think that's it either. And then, like, I get a new food recipe, I'm like, I don't think that's it either.
Fascinating.
So, like, I just always feel like something's missing. I just never know what it is. And that just kind of fucks with me.
It's almost like we have to do, like, inventories, like, on our life. Like, we got to go down the list of, like, social, career, like, basic needs. Like, we almost have to do a checklist to be like, what's working right now and what isn't. Because, like, I feel like, a lot of people say this, but, like... So many people say, like, when your career is going good, your social life is shit. When your social life's going great, you might have a shitty job that's making you depressed. Like, and it's always like, you can't have it all.
Yeah.
And it's like, how do we get to that? How do we get happy with everything without, like, deprioritizing something. Yeah,
exactly.
Which is so hard.
It gets harder the older you get, too.
Oh, my God.
Because, like, more things come into your life, and then, yeah, it's...
Ding, ding, motherfucker. Yeah, ding, that's ding. Ding. It's fucking tough, man. How would you say that, like... Obviously, we both recommend therapy and getting help and all of that, even though we're not doing it. But,
you know? Therapy's fun.
How would you say that you deal with the depression?
I do stuff that makes me happy. I watch the shame shows over and over again because I know they make me happy.
Yes.
I get my brain serotonin because obviously it can develop it itself. So she's having a rough go with that. So, yeah.
But is it daily for you or is it more episodes? Like is depression something that you find is a daily struggle or does it more come in waves?
It comes in waves.
Yeah.
Because some days are definitely better than others.
Yeah.
But yeah, I just try to surround myself with good people and make myself as happy as I can where I can.
It's shocking to me how, because I always used to think that situational depression was what I always had, because usually like personal events would trigger it and stuff. And lately, like in the past couple of years, I've been like, oh no, this is chemical. This is you just wake up. And you're like, sad. Oh, I want to throw myself in traffic for some reason.
Yeah. Why do I want to do that? Why do I want to go jump off the McKay Bridge today? I don't know. What's going on?
Again, guys, dark thoughts here, but like, we're just being honest. But like, it truly is a chemical imbalance.
Yeah. It's weird that like, once you start understanding mental health, that you like, you understand that like, what's happening in your head is not normal. And I mean, like, it's normal in a way, but like, it's not okay. And like, maybe you should get a little bit of help. I don't know.
Yeah. And it's so tough too, like when you hear from people who are depressed, because you're like, how much do I do or not do? How much? It's just hard. And like, I've had many people reach out to me and then instantly start spiraling into, I'm so depressed and I'm busy and I'm overworking myself. And I just constantly repeat, put yourself first, self-care, like you're loved. Like, even if you don't really love the person,
you are loved.
Tell them that they're loved, because that's... Because
they're loved by someone.
It's cheesy. It's cheesy.
Yeah.
But it's so important.
You can't pour from an empty cup.
Watch me. That was my status today. I don't know if you saw that. Challenge accepted.
Watch this, Mom. No hands.
That's so fascinating. So... I wanted to bring up something with you, which was a recent post you made about loving yourself.
That makes me... Okay, good. A recent post that you made. That makes me anxious. Speaking of being anxious, woo!
Yeah, you post everything from, like, really super nice messaging to, like... just thoughts you have, which I love that about you.
It's usually like jokes I'm trying out. If like no one likes them, like, that was a shitty ass joke,
right? I do the same thing. It's a great place to test premises.
Yeah,
like Facebook status.
I got 5 likes, that's a good one.
You're like, that it's going to the mic now.
Putting that down in my note diary.
We're gonna give it a try. Yeah. But I really like seeing you make those posts, because I've noticed like changes in you, even though we're fairly new friends. But the loving yourself journey. It's a journey.
So basic. Oh my God, I've been on a journey with myself and we love her.
Number one, loving yourself is the hardest thing ever. And it's the most important relationship in your life. So I will never not talk about this if someone's been on a journey with it and has come to a good place. So you seem to have come to a good place with this.
Yeah.
What's happened there?
I have no idea. Just one day I woke up and I was like, fuck this, I'm loving myself.
Was it one day? Was it really just that quick?
It was that quick, because like, I used to be really, really skinny as a teenager. And then like, I gained a bunch of weight when I went on like birth control and stuff like that.
Oh, the fucking pill.
The fucking birth control. But like, I went on 3 different types of birth control. So like, I was on, I think I was on the patch first, and they're ripping it off, so that didn't work. But then like, I went on the knee.
Just like tossing and turning in the night.
There you go. Like, scratch it off. Oh shit, because I'm going to get pregnant today. but then I went on the needle, and that really fucked
me. Holy shit, I even forgot about that.
Yeah.
I forgot that was even a thing.
I don't even know if that's an option anymore. But like,
fuck, man.
I think people are just getting IUDs or almost a DUI, but that's something else.
DUI? I gotta go get my DUI.
I gotta get my DUI today. No big deal.
So it was the pill that did it, eh?
It was actually the needle that did it, because that made me gain a shit ton of weight. And then also, I think it fucked, like, I think that's what made me depressed.
Really?
Forever and always the end.
Really?
But that's my theory. I don't know if that's true.
Well, I
or
mean,
not.
Hormones would, I mean, if there's a hormone change.
Yeah, so then I went off of that and then went on the pill and everything was fine. But yeah, so I had a really hard time losing weight and kind of like accepting my body is going to look this way for a long time. And like, I literally, again, with the lockdown, I think like just being with myself for a long time, I just kind of was like, you know what? You're fine the way you are. You got this, girl. Just, might as well just flaunt your shit, because it's not going anywhere. You tried. You gave it your best shot. We're still going to try a little bit, but like, love yourself.
I think that like there's a lot of hot takes in this like body positive, like loving yourself movement. I think for me personally, like, we're getting hot takes in here. I hope it don't piss people off. I think it's okay to not like yourself sometimes and how you look. I think it's okay to be in that and go, I just don't like how I look, but I'm going to accept it because this is the body that I'm in, and I'm still going to treat my body with respect because that's what I deserve. But it's okay to not like it sometimes.
I love that, though.
Because I feel like far too often we are now too pressured to be toxic positivity is like a thing.
Definitely.
Like, I don't really believe in fake it till you make it. That said,
that's exhausting.
I have been in situations where, like, I've had to go to photo shoots and I don't like how I look, and I've had to force myself into a confident place, which is hard. I heard an interesting thing on a podcast. She was talking about filters, Instagram filters. And she's like, yeah, filters make you look better. They make you look better. You feel better about the picture when you put a smoothing filter on or whatever it is.
Cute little deer filter.
Yeah. Those are weird.
All right. But
she said, she was like, so people are always shitting on filters because it's putting out a different perception of what you look like to the world. But she's like, you can use that to your advantage. You just need to walk around the world like you're in that filter.
I love that.
So like, you're not saying, you're saying, no, this is the real me. Like, you and I are sitting here face to face. Like, this is me. But like, if you see yourself in that filter that day and it puts a pep in your step and it makes you feel slightly better and more confident, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. Is that a hot take? I know the filters are very like unhealthy, and I feel like it's a dangerous road, but I also think the idea of seeing yourself in your best light at your worst times can help you. She's not crying for the audio listeners. It was
no,
a hiccup.
I'm not crying.
But what do you think of that? Like, it kind of made me think of things differently, because I think people get shamed for editing photos or, but I just think, women especially, we are so goddamn hurting ourselves. And if a fucking filter makes you feel better about yourself, fucking
just
do it.
Use it. Yeah. Anything that makes you feel better about yourself, I am so pro.
Because
anything helps. Anything helps. That's just like giving your brain serotonin. Anything helps if it makes you happy.
I just think it's so important to not constantly force yourself to be, I'm hot, when you're not feeling hot. It's okay to not feel hot. As long as you know that you're important. And you deserve to do things that make you feel good.
If I don't feel good about myself, I do not have that mindset.
but it's a strange thing. Like, say, have you ever done a photo shoot?
No.
It's a strange thing when you have to then go.
That's true.
Or something like this, where like we're filming ourselves, or even doing stand up, taking the stage. It's kind of a thing like that where you got to turn that like.
I don't look it, but I do now.
Yeah, you got to like turn it on. It's just fascinating to me.
Yeah.
But body acceptance is so important. I think it is very important to give up that control and accept your body. And I also do think it's okay to try to change it if you're not happy with that.
Yeah.
I'm okay with that too.
And like, I'm comfortable with how my body looks right now, but that doesn't mean that like I'm gonna stop going to the gym. That doesn't mean I'm gonna stop like eating better or anything like that. It's just like I'm gonna eat what I want to eat when I want to eat it because that makes me feel good.
And if it happens to have results, then bonus, then
boom.
But now you love yourself and you're happy, and so the things that you're doing are just gonna make you feel better inside.
Exactly.
Yeah, I love.
I'm
that.
Not working out because I'm feel shitty about my body. I'm working out because I like it now. There I'm eating better because I like it now. I'm eating McDonald's because I like it.
And
like,
this bitch will turn down plans on a Sunday because she has to meal prep. So be more like Sarah.
So we are committed to the meal prep.
Be more like Sarah.
Yeah.
I adore you.
I love you too.
We're going to shift it from positive to negative.
Oh boy.
I actually didn't ask you before we hit record. Do you have a rant? I need to rant.
My rant is just a statement. Just be nice.
Be nice. Don't be dicks. So you don't like dicks. You don't like assholes.
I like dicks when they're like attached to people. Sorry, Mom. I know you're gonna listen to this. But yeah, you know, but I don't like when people are dicks. There's no reason for it.
I've noticed that, yeah, the times that you've complained about things to me, it's usually in understandably so, how people have treated you or have treated other people.
Yeah.
Which is, yeah, just, when you're a shitty person, that's shitty.
It is. And there's no reason for it. Yeah. I think it's just because, like, I'm nice to people, so I expect people to be nice to me, which is stupid because, like, not everybody's nice like that.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. When people are mean to me, I'm just, like, taken off
guard. How mean have people been to you, though?
It's been really rough these last few weeks.
Oh, yes. Okay.
But, like, like throughout my life, too, people have been mean to me. And like,
were you bullied?
Not too bad in high school. Mm-hmm. Maybe, but
just the standard, you know.
just
the standard light bullying.
Yeah.
Just the light trauma.
Nothing too bad.
We all have a base of that, right?
Yeah, it's fine.
Fuck. But yeah, it is very frustrating when people talk down. Or have you ever been mean? This is a question that just popped up.
I can be really mean sometimes.
How so?
I've had my days where like I've torn into people and like maybe punched somebody once in a restaurant. I don't know. It's fine. It was actually in the driveway.
Can we talk about this?
This is in high school.
Can we talk about the story?
Yeah.
Okay. What happened?
There's this girl. I forget her name. I think her name is Danielle. I don't remember why I hated her so much, but like we were in drama class together, and every time like we were in class together, I'd tell her how much of a stupid bitch she was. And then like one day she was like, "Sarah, I'm gonna fight you," and I was like, "Bring it, bitch! I hate you." And then like we went outside, and there was like lockers right next to the classroom, and like I pushed up against the locker, and I was like, "Don't." I was like, I want to meet you in the parking lot of this diner up the street because I'm going to kick your ass. And she's like, yeah, I'll see you there. And then we fought in the diner parking lot.
A physical fight.
A physical fight.
Did you get punched?
Yeah. But like, does it really count? Because like, she kind of punched me, but like, she didn't really know how to make a fist. So she like punch slapped me. So she was like, eh. And
it was like a bitch punch.
And I got on the ground and I was like, take that. You don't want to mess with these hands. And then a teacher came up and broke it up.
I cannot picture you doing that for the life of me.
Yeah, I was really aggressive when I was a teenager.
I just, like, because you're so not that at all now.
You're
not what I would call a confrontational person.
I think that's why I don't like confrontation now, because I'm like, you know what?
You're like, I've been there and done it.
I don't want this anymore.
Are you scared of conflict now? Are you someone who... Can you stand up for yourself face-to-face like this?
I will cry. I will literally cry.
Because this is the case with a lot of people with anxiety, I think.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people with anxiety have issues with that. I think we could all do a bit better of a job, like if it's over text or email or something.
Oh, over text, not a problem. But like face-to-face... I'll cry.
It's really hard.
Yeah.
Even for people who I would say like are a little more more like adept to deal with conflict, it's still hard. Because I think of myself as someone who could probably do that, but there's been times that I've been shaking in my boots to stand up to certain people.
Yeah.
super hard.
Like, from 15 to like my mid 20s again, that was like my hardcore times. Like, I'd have no problem like telling somebody off to their face and like whatever, like no problem confronting people. But like now, I also think my anxiety got worse as I got older. So like, I can't, but like I said, over text, I'll send you an email and telling you all about yourself, but I will never say anything to your face.
Fascinating.
Yeah.
That's so insane that you were like so different.
Yeah.
Like, here's a cheesy question. What would you say to your past self? Like, if you could turn back time, because this was high school, right?
Yeah.
If you could actually give yourself like a message or a piece of advice, I know it's a cheesy question that a lot of podcasts
ask. I love that question though.
Do you know what you would say to her to like prep her for like where you are now?
Yeah. I would say, Sarah, dear Sarah, you're not going to be a rapper, so don't even bother. Don't go record that demo in the middle of nowhere. Even though it's a fun experience, you're not going to need it because you're not going to become a rapper. You're going to be a comedian. It's fine.
Did you record a demo?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, I used to want to be a rapper. Her name was Little Twiz.
I always thought you were joking about this.
No, this is a real thing.
Do you have the demo?
I do somewhere. If I find it, I'll bring it over someday.
Please do.
But yeah, that joke is a real thing.
No way. Okay, but seriously though, what other advice would you give?
I would tell her not to date that guy that dated for 6 years because that was too much.
No changing course of history. Just advice.
Oh shit.
Insight. God damn it. Insight. More so insight, not choices. Because, and this is something I kind of have started to believe. Nikki Glaser has put me onto this. I don't think there's free will. We have no control over anything.
I don't like that. That makes me anxious.
See, if you think of it this way, so Nikki Glaser uses the example of when she was young, she was terrified of nuclear war. And she would actually have panic attacks at nighttime and she would run into her parents' room. She was like, she's a catastrophic thinker like I am. I think big picture things. That's the stuff that stresses me out.
Yeah.
Like death. Death is something that like is my main thing. But with her, she would like have panic attacks. She would like run into her parents' room and like be crying. The world's going to explode. We're going to explode. A bomb's going to be dropped on us. And her dad took her and went, there's nothing you can do about it. And it's actually the opposite. It's more calming because you go, okay, so like no matter what, this could happen. This is a thing that could happen. And there's literally nothing I could do that could stop a bomb.
That makes me anxious.
Does it?
Yeah.
But I would think on it for a bit. Because I think the more you think on it, the more you go, nothing I can do. So why stress? Easier said than done. But like, just think of it that way.
I think the it doesn't matter.
Just calm down, Sarah. Would you just calm
down? Calm down. I won't fight bitches in parking lots anymore.
But I think it's a control thing with anxiety because you can only control how you deal with situations. You can't control situations.
My anxiety definitely comes from being out of control of stuff for sure.
Is that part of personal situations? Or just events that happen around you.
I think it's just in general, like both personal and like general things.
Interesting. But you're not a catastrophic thinker, right? Like you're not thinking about crazy. You're not thinking about a piano falling on you walking down the street.
Sometimes.
Are you?
Sometimes because
to me, generalized would be maybe
not to that extreme, but like I am scared of crows attacking me, which is why I carry around cashews.
To just fend them off, to just like
to just like feed them, because like if you feed crows they'll leave you alone, or like they'll know that you're friends with them or something.
Oh yeah, okay. I've learned a lot about crows recently.
Me too.
They also mimic human voices.
They do.
Isn't that crazy?
They're actually really smart and really interesting creatures. I really wish you'd hate me so much. That's all.
They're beautiful.
They are, and like I would love to be friends with them, but like we gotta find some common ground. But yeah, so I don't think a piano's gonna fall on me, but
okay, interesting. Well, I just thought I'd throw out that control thing because it made me think differently about it. Because for me, it's death, and I think about death constantly. And it's kind of helped me to go, nothing I can do, but it's going to happen. And everyone's going to go through it. And
I'm gonna be dead. I'm not even gonna be able to be stressed out about being dead because I'll be dead.
That's true. It still
scares me.
When people say it doesn't matter, that helps me.
So that's similar though, right?
Yeah.
Like for example, a comedy set. You don't, okay. And this is, again, this is hippie woo-woo, but whether you do good or bad, you can do your best.
Yeah.
Nothing will prepare you for a crowd that just doesn't like you, or a crowd that just doesn't want to laugh that night, or a drunk crowd that's just not listening.
Yeah.
You have no control over that. So you doing bad doesn't matter.
A meteor hitting this earth doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter.
I think it's the wording that's like...
Well, yeah. Yeah, it's the wording. You can't stop a meteor.
But a meteor doesn't matter. I mean, it does, but...
You will spend your life... So, like, for me personally, my grandmother lived in fear. And she, like, hardly ever left her house, hardly ever traveled. She was an anxious person. She let anxiety hold her back. And I don't want that to be me.
Yeah.
And there's so much of her in me that I have to solve this now because otherwise I'm never going to, like, I don't like flying. I've never gotten on a plane and gone, I'm excited for this experience.
I'm having a great time.
I hate it.
Does anybody have a good time on an airplane?
I mean, I think some people are just so used to it that it doesn't bug them. But like, okay, plane's gonna crash. That really sucks that it was me who was on this plane that's crashing.
But this sucks as a plane's going down.
You know, like we all, I don't know. It's just a thing where we, it's not, I'd rather try to get to Greece than not try at all and then be unhappy about missing Greece.
Yeah, that makes sense. And I feel the same way. I'd rather try to get there than not get there at all.
It's just a fucking tough thing to manage anxiety.
Yeah.
So we're gonna get to the last segment. We're at about an hour 20 now, so
okay,
we'll do the last segment
and then
wrap her.
Goodbye.
So we did the rant, so now it is time for your unpopular opinion.
Don't hate me for this, but it's time for an unpopular opinion.
Ding, ding. I think that Vine is better than TikTok.
Do you think that's unpopular?
I think it's a little unpopular.
Do you think it's because most of the people who are on TikTok are younger people who don't know what Vine is?
Maybe. No, because
I just called us both old.
But these TikToks about Vine, so I don't know.
That's true. A lot of Vines have become, like, TikToks.
And, like, remade Vines, and, like, the sounds of Vines are on there. So I think they know what it is, but yeah. Because I just think that Vine was funnier. I think it was more genuine. I think that people were making content because they liked making the content. And it probably was for the views, too, because it was, like, do it for the Vine. But, like, not as much.
Not as much. It was not so much a factor. It was more like, this is a funny thing I made that's funny. Not, I need to do this trend so I get 1,000 likes and interactions with it that make me more popular.
Yeah.
Because I totally agree. There's Vines.
There's also no influencers on Vine like there is on TikTok. Like, I'm a TikTok influencer. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I love your influencer impression.
Thank you so much. I worked really hard on her, so.
Yeah, it wasn't, it was... What a time that was, Vine.
It was the best.
I miss it. Did you ever make any?
Yes.
Do you remember what they were?
I do. There was one of me. Wait, hold on. Yeah, there was one of me twerking on the wall for some reason.
Oh, I wish we could like put that in here.
But why was I doing that?
Do you have it saved?
I don't know. I think it might have on my old iPod if I ever find it.
My God, that's so funny. I think I did a couple too. I don't remember what they were, but. I also loved the time constraint of 6 seconds.
Yeah. That's so much better than fucking 3 minutes.
But also it's like 15 seconds really isn't a lot either. But like it just really forced people to be instantly funny.
Yeah.
You had to be instantly funny.
The content was wholesome. You always say we drop my croissant.
Road work ahead. Well, yeah, I sure hope it does. My favorite one.
Okay. Yeah.
There's so many good ones. Bo Burnham was fire on Vine.
Love him.
This is my jam. This is my jam.
No, turn that down. This is my jam.
He definitely wouldn't have been as famous as he is now with a Vine.
You don't think?
No. He like got his start on Vine.
I bet his documentary is really good, though.
Documentary?
Bo Burnham? Are we talking about him still?
You mean Inside?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So it wasn't a documentary, Sarah?
You know what? It was to me.
It was a special.
It's a documentary to me now, okay? Anything that's not a movie or a TV show is a documentary.
I do love documentaries.
I do, too. About serial killers, mostly.
Yeah, I can't do that.
You don't like serial killers?
See, that plays into my catastrophic thinking. I don't like that. But maybe I need to apply my control thinking to that and go, well, if someone's going to break in and murder you, then nothing you can do about it. Maybe I need to take my own advice.
I just find this so fascinating because like I like to dig into the brains a little bit. Did you ever watch Mindhunter?
Yes, I watched the first season.
See, I loved it because like they're digging into the minds of the serial killers and figuring out like why they're doing what they're doing and like figuring out the backgrounds. I mean, like they're all very similar, but I just like... Because we don't think like that. Like, I don't wake up in the morning. I'm like, I'm going to go kill somebody today. What a great day. So I just, like, figure out where they're coming from. And, like...
I feel like if I were to see someone about to kill somebody, I would just be like, no. Wait, what's your trauma?
No, honey, what's wrong?
Your mom, sit down. Your mom was just a bitch. It's not your fault she didn't love you.
It's usually, like, bad childhood or really bad breakups.
And, like, stuff with parents. Or like, yeah. Those two things are big.
Yeah, that's what all happens.
You had a great childhood, though, right?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah.
I had a great childhood.
See?
Yeah, I was the favorite child, so.
You can be fucked up at any time in your life. Doesn't matter. You can have a good childhood and then just get a bunch of adult trauma, which is what...
I don't know, man. I don't know where I came from. I was born this way.
Oh, my gosh. Is there anything that you wanted to talk about that we haven't talked about yet?
No. I feel like that's an end of interview. Is there anything you want to cut that we haven't covered yet?
No, I'm just thinking
tonight.
We talked about mental health. We talked about confidence. I mean, you are in a very healthy relationship. And I would say that if we had met when I was younger, I probably would have been like, she's not talking about her boyfriend, so he must suck. But now...
I hate that.
But now I go, no, that's just a healthy relationship.
That's just a healthy relationship. That's what happens.
We're just prone to toxic situations that make us talk about our partners. And if you're actually not talking about them, it's a good sign. I've never met your... I didn't want to say boyfriend. Partner? What do you call
Fiance?
Him?
Fiance?
Dustin? Partner?
Dustin? My Dustin? I thought we saw you one time, but maybe we didn't. Maybe it was somebody else.
I had a talk with a friend last night in the car about just the term boyfriend partner and how she was very like, just say their name. You don't have to say boyfriend or partner. Just say their name. And I was just like, I was wondering what your thoughts were on that. Do you like boyfriend partner? Oh, fiance?
Yeah, fiance
Fuck
works.
Me. You're engaged.
Yeah, for 2 years now, but that's okay.
What's the plan?
There's no rush. I don't understand what the rush is to marriage. I never did. Like, I want to be engaged just like to have that commitment and be like, okay, so you do want to stay with me forever and always.
It's reassurance.
Yeah. I needed that reassurance. And after I got that, I was like, no rush.
See, that's so fascinating because so many different people have different opinions on that.
Yeah. And a lot of people are like, I don't understand why you're not having a wedding yet. My friend has been with her boyfriend for like 8 years or something like that. And she's like, we're getting married in the fall, blah, blah, blah. Why aren't you and Dustin getting married? Like, I don't understand. You're engaged.
So, okay. So to play devil's advocate on her end, this is what I would say. What's stopping you from going to the courtroom and just signing the papers?
I mean, nothing. We're both just lazy and haven't done that yet. I don't
know. There you go. Thank you for being honest. Because that's my thing. Because I go, when someone doesn't seem to care about weddings, I just go, well, if the act of engagement and having a ring is that added like reassurance, then why not get more reassurance and just like go to courtroom, have a nice day out, get some friends to witness it. Like my friend Lindsay, she's a great example of a woman who like just knew what she wanted and got it. Like wanted to be a mom, wanted to be a wife, got knocked up, kept the baby, managed to stay in a healthy relationship with the dude.
Huh.
Went to the courthouse, had just a civil ceremony. posted a cute picture. She wore like a cute little like just kind of casual white dress, and totally happy now. And I just go like, I feel like in women, I think it is the and I'd love to know your thoughts. I think it is the pressure to have a wedding.
Yeah.
That gets to us sometimes.
That's exactly what it is. Yeah.
But if you think about it, like, we're just further committing by making this official. I'm like, I wouldn't want to wait. That's just me though. But I don't know shit.
We talked about it, I think, a few times that like, that's probably what we'll end up doing in the end. It's just like going and signing some papers.
But you're right. There is no rush.
Yeah. Exactly.
And if you're happy, it's fine.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And plus, like, once you're married, like, there's a lot of paperwork you have to fill out and like.
But then why be engaged?
For the commitment, for the insurance.
But why not be have a strong relationship without a ring?
Great question. Because I'm anxious.
See, but this is why I find it interesting, because there's why people and then there's why not people.
That's right.
And I say why not to engagement. I also say why not to marriage.
Yeah.
Do I think every marriage should have a wedding where you spend a salary's worth on other people to make other people happy? No. And that's drastically changed to me. I used to be a big wedding person, but now I'm like, no, I want to do a civil thing.
Oh.
Yeah, that's drastically
changed.
I've
never been like, I want a big wedding type of person.
Oh, I for sure did.
I would love to have like, I want to have a bachelorette party and then like, want to sign those papers and then just like, have
use
a small
that as
party.
Fuel to do. You would have such a fun bachelorette.
Every time I go out, it's like, it's my bachelorette party.
Yeah. And then you could have a day where you go to the courthouse, you dress up, you book reservations for a nice dinner. You have two friends come with you because you need witnesses.
Yeah.
You're a big family person, so you could plan a big family dinner afterwards.
That's true. Someday.
I feel like I'm pitching this really hard on
you.
You
are.
But like, I'm mostly fascinated. Well, just long engagements fascinate me.
Yeah.
It's just a thing that like... I have no idea. I've never been engaged. No one's asked me yet. But it's just a fascinating thing.
Yeah. I just feel like there's no rush. So I never really like thought about
death.
It for a long time. Yeah.
Other than death.
I feel like we're going to be okay for a few years.
But this is the sign of a healthy relationship. If God came down and said, you're dying tomorrow.
Well, then we'd go send papers today.
But would that matter?
No.
Exactly. So I think I just convinced myself that it doesn't matter.
I think you just gave full circle.
But again, why or why not, right?
Yeah.
I'm why or why not.
I'm definitely a, let's just, I'm not a rushy type of person. I like to chill and take my time with things. And
well, I'm very happy like for you, rushed. Even though I have not met this man and I still question his existence.
He does exist.
I'm stoked for the time that you will get to have that. And I would love to help you plan that.
Yes, you will. And you'll be at my bachelorette party.
Oh, yay! Oh my gosh, Sarah, this was so fun. Thank you for coming on as a guest.
Thank
finally.
You for having me.
Just over 10 episodes and we got to meet you and get to know you better. And,
yeah, let's go.
I hope you guys enjoy hearing from Sarah every week on the intros and like plug away. Where can people follow you?
You can follow me on Instagram at, I think I'm at Hello Sarah Nicole. I almost said .com, not .com, but at Hello Sarah Nicole.
Yes.
On Instagram and on TikTok.
Yeah, follow her.
And also, go watch Volley's if you have Bell TV.
Oh, yeah.
Or Eastling TV. Not really sure.
Check out Volley's and just get picked up for another season, right?
Yeah, season 2.
That's amazing. And thank you so much for, number one, being an awesome friend and, like, helping me with this. Like, it means so much. And, like, I so wish that I could just get you something, a present. And I promise I will at some point. When the money is, don't worry, it's coming. But like,
please don't get me a present.
I appreciate you so much in helping me with this. Because it's not an easy thing to like come in on and like, and it's, there's just a lot, and you deal with a lot of my shit, and like, it really means a lot.
I really feel like we're the yin to each other's yang, and that's why we get along so well, because we even each other out, and we came into each other's life when we need each other the most.
Absolutely.
And I appreciate you.
Aww. What a love fest this was. Well, thank you guys so much for listening, and make sure to I'm doing an intro now for some reason. Thank you so much for listening. This was so
Who
fun.
Are we?
You get to do a bell ring to close up the episode.
Ooh, she went in right away. She went in mod on.
Thank you for listening to the Intoxicated Podcast. If you enjoyed this week's episode, make sure you subscribe on whatever podcast app you use and leave a rating or review on Apple Podcasts. You can also give us a follow on Facebook and Instagram at Intoxicated Podcast and check out our video episodes on the Intoxicated YouTube channel. Until next week, feel hard and talk hard. Intoxicated Podcast is hosted and produced by Sarah McClellan, co-produced by Sarah Nicole, and brought to you by The Messiness of Life.